Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle.
To the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow. And today, I have my little brother as our guest today. An awesome, awesome man of God, Papa Dr. James A. Kiptart. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Apostle Ken. How are you?
Well, I'm healthy, happy, terrific. I can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Blood's going in, blood's going up, but I thank you for asking.
Amen. Amen. Great is your faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness, and great is your faithfulness. I just want to say that, big brother, with the various obstacles that have come your way over the last 2 weeks, I'll even go back the last 3 years, for you to persevere and to continue to broadcast and share the love of Jesus Christ and make yourself available for the gifts of the Spirit to be stirred up and for the miracles and people being healed. I commend you for that today. And I know that it's the Lord that does everything, but he chooses vessels that are willing. And it's one thing to be chosen, and it's another thing to be a willing vessel in spite of the adversity and the hardships and crisis that come, to still manifest the love of God and continue on in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I commend you for that, because it's not easy. A lot of people don't know that. It's not easy. There are obstacles that come. There's warfare that comes. Life comes. Technical situations arise on the airways, you know, because of the principalities of the air. But you continue to plow, and I admire you for that. And I know the Lord is very pleased in the work that you're doing. So I just want to say that before we really got into the rest of the broadcast. I think that's important, that people know that you are a human. You're not just a voice behind a microphone, but you are a man of God, a phenomenal husband, a father, and a leader in the body of Christ, and an apostle in the body of Christ that has compassion for souls being saved and people being healed, set free, and delivered. And if that's not the ministry of Jesus Christ, somebody throw some water on me and wake me up, because that is the epitome of the work that Jesus called us to, and I commend you for that.
Well, I thank you for the kind words, but honestly, I enjoy serving God. I enjoy it. I have so much fun. This past Tuesday's healing prayer room, all the people that normally show up and assist me, most of them, with the exception of one, didn't show up. And the human side of me said, uh-oh, where's all my anointed prayer partners? Where are they at? And God says, you don't need any of them.
Wow.
Going ahead. And we ended up having three miracles, and God brought people in that were anointed, you know. So I am absolutely in awe of Jesus. He blows me away each and every day. You know, this week is kind of a busy week. I've had, you know, two Roku TV shows this morning. We had the healing prayer room on Tuesday. Today we have you,
yay,
which I'm real happy about.
Amen.
Right, I just got off Roku TV. And then this afternoon I will be preaching to Ghana, Africa.
Incredible. Incredible.
And tomorrow morning I'll be preaching to orphan children in Pakistan.
Incredible.
They're so cute, too.
Incredible.
They're so cute. You should see them.
That is absolutely incredible. That's global work. And that is what we were talking about at the onset of the Global Fire Revival that we did starting May 22nd. And it ran all the way to the end of August. It was impacting the nations and impacting the globe. Now, I do know personally, I understand that some people are called to local ministry, and I get that, and that's what they do, and people in the community go to that fellowship and whatever, and that's their place of fellowship. I understand that. But when you are talking about an apostle, that apostle should be reaching far beyond the confines of the district parameters or regional parameters or county parameters, state parameters, continent parameters, and being a global voice. And so for you to be reaching Pakistan and doing a live broadcast with the orphans in Pakistan, and then doing a broadcast for Ghana, more than likely Accra, Ghana, the impact that brings to the table, the punch that brings to the table, is far greater than what we can comprehend. We were so used to getting on airplanes and going to those locations and going through the visas and the customs and the immigration and the shots and all the protocol prior to even traveling. And now you're broadcasting globally, and impacting people instantly.
I don't know if you remember this or not, but you actually prophesied that I would go to the Nations. And I remember laughed about it, but how am I going to go to the Nations? But thank God for modern technology, because I'm going to the Nations and I haven't had to leave my backyard yet. And
yes, sir.
I'm thankful for every opportunity. You and I have one thing in common. Jesus Christ is our main focus. He is our everything. He's our first. He's the one that we all, but you and I, we're centered on that. We can't, I don't know about you for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct when I say every breath we take is because of the Lord, and we appreciate him, and we want to serve him in every aspect that he puts in front of us. Which brings me to this next statement. Okay, I had a blast doing Global Flyer Revival over the summer. We had our issues here and there, but we kept plugging away and we got the job done. And now we're talking about doing a Fresh Wind Fall Revival. Talk to me about that.
Well, as you said, the Global Fire Revival was what the Lord birthed in my heart, was that we have in Mountaintop Ministries International, we have several leaders from around the world, Cebu, Philippines, Pastor Judelo Donato, Pastor Anand Chakravarti in Hyderabad, India, Pastor Danajan in Hyderabad, India, Pastor Patrick Pierre from Haiti, who's in Georgia, Apostle Valerie Ann Jackson out of Oxon Hill, Maryland, Evangelist Maverick White out of Fredericksburg, Virginia, Pastor Gene Calvin out of Albany, Georgia, Prophetess Tara D. Knight out of Georgia, Prophetess Sharon Cordyce out of Georgia. You know, the list just goes on and on and on of people. We have Apostle Ken Burrow out of, Trinity, Alabama, and then throw in Prophet T.J. Burrow out of Trinity, Alabama, and Prophet Ike Austin out of Pensacola, Florida area, and here comes Apostle Victoria Austin out of the Pensacola area. It's all these voices, all these people that are either under Mountaintop Ministries or connected to Mountaintop Ministries. I mean, Bill Holko, my principal from high school, was a speaker. He's a principal. He's out of in Ohio, Akron, Ohio, where he was a principal. But he spoke and he taught. This is somebody that I haven't seen since I walked across the stage in 1980, you know, graduated, and that was it. But it was Bishop Eugene Victory Reeves was on the council for the social injustice, racial inequality. I can't forget Apostle Cherry out of Richmond, Virginia, Pastor R. Stacy Jenkins out of Akron, Ohio. All these people said, no problem, there's no cost, there's no fee, there's no honorarium. We'd be honored to get on and teach, preach, minister, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ or whatever it is that we need to do. Jack Heidnesher out of Fredericksburg, Virginia. James Pardue in Virginia might be moving to Utah. No, Lord knows where he's going. He's all over the place. He's a world traveler. But these people are people that love the Lord, first of all. And we were able to reach the people in various ways and show body, soul, spirit. I mean, we even talked about health. Pastor Gene Calvin talked about the health, physical fitness, physical health. All these things are what makes up the true body of Christ. When we are able to reach people in any area, we can reach them with their health, we can reach them with their body, their soul, their spirit, and share not only the gospel, but give wisdom on how to stay healthy. Come on. That's what the revival is all about. One thing that we saw, and I'm not going to run my mouth, but one thing we have seen over the years is we saw churches that were running annual revivals. And it can be a good thing or it can be a very dangerous thing. And why do I say that? I've seen ministries that are reviving dead works. Let me say that again. I have seen ministries have revivals for dead works. In other words, what they're reviving is dead, and it needs to stay dead. But they're reviving something that has become an annual tradition compared to reviving people, stirring people up, bringing people back to life into something that the Lord is in. And that's what Global Fire Revival was about: salvation. It was restructuring the church, getting the church in the proper working order with the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And, you know, we talked about the bishop's responsibility as the pastor's pastor and, you know, the elders and the deacons. We talked about that. But now, since that foundation has been laid, the Lord has led me into the fresh wind fall revival. And so what the Lord was saying is that I want you to introduce the Holy Spirit to the nations. And I'm thinking to myself, Apostle Ken, I was like, introduce the Holy Spirit to the nations? I said, people already know who the Holy Spirit is. And, you know, because I dialogue with the Lord. I don't know how other people talk, but I talk to God like a friend. I talk back and forth. I reverence him. I honor him. But I talk like a friend because I am a friend of God. And that's the way I feel when I have these conversations. So I said, well, don't everybody knows who you are? Everybody knows who the Holy Spirit is. He said, nope. He said, because if they knew who the Holy Spirit is, they would not call the Holy Spirit it. They would not say, something told me. They would not refer to the Holy Spirit and have a fear as if the Holy Spirit is some evil spirit that's scary and creepy and sneaks into the room in the middle of the night and makes things go bump in the night. He's a perfect gentleman, according to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. He is a perfect gentleman. And that's what the Lord put on my heart to introduce to the people, because a lot of people have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon salvation, but they have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they have never experienced the gifts of the Spirit that are within them being stirred up and having them activated in what they're anointed to do.
Amen.
And, you know, it's true. A lot of people, you know, I remember when I got saved, what a remarkable day that was. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. But I was in a denomination that did not believe what I believe today. They did not believe in speaking in tongues. They did not believe that God still heals. But, you know, I'm very thankful for them, because they did believe in salvation, and I wouldn't have got saved if they hadn't been for that. But I'll be honest with you, I felt robbed. Once God gave me the gift of speaking in tongues, once God baptized me in the Holy Spirit and with fire, everything changed. I mean, everything. I remember when I got baptized with fire, James, one of the first things God said to me, he said two things. First thing he said to me was, get rid of your religion. The second thing he said is, I must forgive. When he said, get rid of your religion, I was like, what? You know, because everything I knew up to that point, unfortunately for me, was religion. And I finally got rid of my religion because, as you said a minute ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, I talk to the Holy Spirit like you do. He is my best friend. Yes. He is my everyday breath. I look forward to the anointing from him on a daily basis. I have had times in my past, when my father passed away and I fell into a depression, I didn't have that anointing every day. And, oh my goodness, talk about a hunger. Talk about it. I mean, I was so thankful when the depression broke and the Holy Spirit came back. And there's one spot here in my man cave. I can go walk, stand right there, and I know the presence of God is going to fall because it does every time. But the point of the matter is, those who are brought up in a religious background, like I was, they may not realize it, but they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They need to have that personal relationship that they can talk to God through the Holy Spirit as a personal friend. There is power that comes upon the men and women of God who seek after the Holy Spirit, who seek after the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many people, James, that do not have baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask this question. It's a little rhetorical question, but for those who are listening, it may not be. How does one get the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Well, it's amazing that you put it in that text. You said, how does one receive the Holy Spirit, or how does one get the Holy Spirit? How? It's the how part that has been the confusion. A lot of people understand that they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon salvation. That means, you know, you're saved, you're a new creation, old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. That's the Bible. Now, here is the amazing part about it. It's one thing to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but the Bible tells you in Luke 11, verses 9 to 13, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you will find. And you can back that up by going to Acts, the first chapter, verse 1 and Acts 1 and 8. And he says, and Jesus, before he ascended, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you should be witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so that says, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, we know in Acts 19, when Paul was out on the road and he saw some disciples that had been baptized, he said, hey, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they were like, we were baptized in the baptism of John. We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and the Bible says that he laid hands on them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. It didn't say anything that they had to go to the altar and travail, and the church mother had a whip and a chain beating the devil out of you. You know, we made it seem so difficult and so painful to receive the Holy Spirit when the Bible clearly says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Anyone that's the father that has a son, and the son asks for an egg, asks for fish, asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Will you give him a serpent? Will you give him a scorpion? The answer is certainly not. And then he says, if you being evil can give good gifts, if I can give good gifts to my children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? All they have to do is ask, and ask stands for ask, seek, and knock. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, if you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, the outward manifestation of receiving the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in a new heavenly language. Will you speak in a heavenly language all the time? If you choose to do so, yes. The answer is yes. people want to debate that and say that once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, I spoke one time and I haven't spoken since. That's on you. That's on you. Because you can stir yourself up in the Holy Spirit, like Paul was saying in, Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 14, that, yeah, if we're praying in tongues, that's fine praying in tongues, but praying in the natural is fine also. But he says that it's for exhortation, edification, and comfort. He said it's to edify. You're praying in tongues to build oneself up. It's not that you need to have somebody there to interpret what you're saying. I pray in tongues more than I pray in the natural. Praying in tongues is like Romans the 8th chapter, verse 17 to 27. 26 says that we're weak and don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit gives us utterance with groanings and things that can't not be interpreted. It's so that we are stirred up in the Spirit. And the best part about it is, Apostle Ken, when we pray in tongues, the devil cannot interpret what's being said. It's a heavenly language. It is a direct line from you to the Spirit of God. And that is the most important part. A lot of people are praying prayers like, I can't take my job anymore. I'm tired of my supervisor. I can't take it anymore. The pressure's too much. Oh, my kids are driving me crazy. I'm sick and tired of my kids acting up. Oh, I don't like this car. This car is making me sick. It won't even act right. And they're saying these things, and they're just throwing information out into the atmosphere. And Satan and his demons and his imps are being assigned to those negative words that you're speaking, and they play on those words. But when you're praying in your heavenly language, all the devil can do is sit back under your feet, get back under your foot and under your feet, and stay in his proper position, which is under your feet, because you're praying a direct prayer straight to the Father. And you can sit there and pray in tongues, and sometimes you can just wait for a minute after you finish praying, and you can hear what's being said, what you're saying in the natural. Or sometimes you just pray in tongues, and then you'll sense a release, and like it's done, and you can get up and say it's done, and you're like, what are you talking about? It's done. You just prayed in tongues. How do you know it's done? I just know what I know in my spirit. It's a done deal, and that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is to pray in your heavenly language to stir yourself up, or to pray in your heavenly language to prepare for exhortation, edification, and comfort for other people.
Right. Well, you know, I tell people all the time, James, that all the gifts of God are given freely, and all the gifts of God are designed to be given away to others, with one exception. And that one exception is praying in tongues. That gift was given and designed to edify the individual that has the gift. Okay? All the other gifts, gift of healing, all that, that's designed to give away to the others. But
that's right.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit is designed for the individual to be edified, to be strengthened. The Bible also says if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you freely.
Yes, he did.
Wow. That's two free things that we can count on a daily basis to commune with God and to walk away a little bit wiser. Not making any sense.
You make a lot of sense. And the amazing part about this, according to 1 Corinthians, I want to say it's the fourth chapter, that what we're saying is it's foolishness to wise people. And what I mean by that is we're talking about the things of the Spirit. And the carnal man cannot grasp what we're saying.
Right.
There was a time when I wondered what it would be like going to Bible study and trying to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be at work, you know, 4:30 for PT and whatever. Oh, this is going to be so hard, and I have to go to Bible study. And the Holy Spirit said, go to Bible study. And he said, go to Bible study. And, you know, and do the Bible study, and I'll give you rest. I'll make sure you get rest. And I started really We do the Bible, have Bible study, and then sometimes have to stay later and pray for people, and then get home around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and get my uniform ready for the next day and go to bed and sleep like a baby. And the Holy Spirit said, let me tell you something. I know all things. I am not bound to one area. I'm not bound to a building. I can show you how to do your job. I can give you wisdom when you're in formation, getting ready to inspect people or call people to attention. I can give you power and authority in your voice. I can give you insight and revelation and come up with witty inventions and ideas. I'll never forget, I built an obstacle course in Okinawa, Japan, using ropes and sandbags and trucks and all kind of stuff. I built, the Lord gave me wisdom on how to engineer an obstacle course for my unit to run. And people were like, where'd you get all these ideas? I mean, where did this come from? How do you know how to do make a rope bridge by putting a truck on one side of a canal and having another truck and having ropes there and safety harnesses and all that? I mean, what made you think about all this? I said, I prayed and asked the Lord to tell me how to do it, and the Holy Spirit showed me how to do it. Are you an engineer? Absolutely not. You have a degree in engineering? Absolutely not. I said, but I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has all the degrees. He is the epitome of all wisdom. The Spirit of God is the epitome of all wisdom known to mankind. And take it further, He is the epitome of wisdom for the entire universe. There's nothing made. There's nothing in the universe that the Holy Spirit doesn't know about. And I'm not going to go deep in that because I might cause people to jump off the phone and run, you know, and hide. But he is not bound to a building. And he's the revelation. He is the revelator of the word. He is the power of the triune. He is the one that makes things happen. He never takes the glory. He always points us back to Christ and gives the glory to the Lord. Amen. He is the one that makes things happen. He never takes the glory. We're getting feedback. Are you there, Apostle Ken? I'm still here.
James, I hate to interrupt you, sir.
Are you here, Apostle Ken?
Yeah, I'm here. We're getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know. Are you listening to this?
I'm still here. No, not at all.
I hate to interrupt you, sir.
Are you here,
do you hear
that?
I'm here. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know. Are you listening to this?
I'm still here. No, not at all.
I hate to interrupt you, sir.
Wow.
Can you hear
me?
I'm
getting
a complete weird
in
this.
Are you listening
to this?
I hear the
feedback.
Look,
it's
in a loop.
Wow. Hey, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, Ken. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit globally. You can expect something to happen, okay?
I don't know if that's any better or not. I may have to put on headphones here.
Okay. It's better. I don't hear the feedback.
This is where it is. Doesn't happen often.
Okay.
I don't know if that's any better or not. I may have to put on
it's still
headphones.
Doing it.
Let me grab some headphones.
This is weird.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. You know, we want to make sure that people are saved. So we could talk about salvation right now. It would be a good time out. We want to make sure that people are saved. So go ahead and you go ahead and do your part about this about salvation, and I'll be quiet for a minute so people can hear about salvation.
Okay. I think the headphones may have fixed the problem. No.
Yeah, it sounds very clear. Mm-hmm. I don't hear feedback.
I'm still getting a loop. I'm hearing you repeat everything.
Huh. That's interesting.
Well, not on my end. It sounds terrible. I hear myself repeating everything. There's a loop going on that I've never experienced before.
Incredible. Supernatural. Huh.
Wow.
Father, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you and we worship you. We thank you that you are the head of all things. You're the ruler of the universe. We thank you that you control the airways. You control everything. You're in charge sovereignly. You are in charge. Have your way. Let everything be done in decency and order. And forgive me for not praying before we broadcast. I ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's all right. I'm still here.
Wow. It's amazing. Apparently, we get to say everything twice, even though we didn't.
Maybe it's double portion outpouring.
Sounds a little better now.
Okay. So that's what the Fresh Wind Fall Revival is going to be about, Apostle Ken. We want to introduce the Holy Spirit to the nations and introduce the Holy Spirit to the universe, because I believe that the broadcast is a universal broadcast. And can you imagine, well, this is going to sound crazy to some people, but I believe it, that the broadcast, it goes out into the airwaves and it can be picked up by anybody that has the reception capability to receive. And can you imagine somebody else out there in the universe hearing the gospel preached? That's amazing to me.
Well, unfortunately, this is not working today.
Okay.
Much to my chagrin. Wait a minute. No, it's still doing it. Every time I say something, impossible to understand what's going on. So,
okay, so you're still getting the feedback?
I'm going to ask you a question before we go, because we are going to go, because this is crazy. I want to invite you back, and we'll do this program again, hopefully without the technical difficulties.
Okay, that sounds great.
Brother, I love you, but I got to eat this. God bless
okay.
you. Be blessed.
God.
We love you.
God keep it you.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.